Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.
Hello, Northwest Arkansas. Randy here, bringing you a quick word from our sponsor, Signature Bank of Arkansas. Since 2005, Signature Bank has been all about empowering our community with local ownership and top-notch banking services. Signature Bank's roots run deep with assets over $1 billion, and they're right here in your backyard with branches in Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Fayetteville, and now including Harrison and Jonesboro. With a growing family of more than 200 teammates, they're ready to serve you with the warmth only a true community bank can offer. And they've got Banco C, the first bilingual bank in Arkansas, to ensure that banking is for everyone. So give Signature Bank a call at 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank online. Mention you heard about them on the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast for that personal touch. Signature Bank of Arkansas, big on assets, local at heart, and a proud member of the FDIC and an equal housing lender.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Hey folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn. I'm excited as always to come before you. I'm sitting here in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at the KUAF studios here at the corner of School. And I always forget the name of that street, but it's the street across from the library. And just forgive my memory, but the name of that street, maybe it's Mountain Street. So it's School and Mountain. There you go. I got it. Yes, my guest is not nodding her head vigorously. So, and that speaks of which, I have an amazing guest on the episode today. And it's somebody that, you know, I always like to give you a prelude before I actually introduce people. But I came in contact with her because I was called one day when my new venture Onboard NWA was about to start. And the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal was kind enough to do a really good piece on the start of this hyperlocal job board. And they said, well, hey, we want to take a photo. We want to have our photographer meet with you and just take a couple of shots. And I wasn't sure what to expect, but I get reached out from by Meredith Mashburn, who is one of the primary photographers for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, among many other things that she does. And so we got connected, and I think we were together for maybe like all of 10 or 15 minutes at the most. It was a pretty quick photo shoot. I was very impressed. She was lugging around a lot of photo equipment, and she did it effortlessly, and she moved me from place to place to place. We were up on the square in Fayetteville, and we ended up in the Pryor Center, took some photos in there, and then we took a couple of last-minute photos. And I mean, I tell you, she was in and out, and the pictures she took were simply amazing. And of course, we are always our own worst critic whenever we look at pictures taken of ourselves, except for maybe selfies, but because you can typically delete those instantly. But in this case, I didn't have the ability to delete them. So I was really at Meredith's, you know, I was really at her disposal in terms of what was going to ultimately come about. And needless to say, I was quite impressed with the quality of the photos that she pulled together. And the one that they used, I absolutely love. And I'll put a link to that photo in the show notes for this episode today. But I really was kind of blown away by Meredith. And when she just shared a little bit about what she was doing, and she had just come off of working with Annie Leibovitz and the program that is taking place at Crystal Bridges. For those of you that haven't seen the Annie Leibovitz exhibit at Crystal Bridges, you need to check it out. And if you're even listening to this after the fact, you just need to check out Crystal Bridges. There's so many amazing exhibits. But without further ado, I want to welcome Meredith Mashburn to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing great. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, no, I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. And we've had a chance to meet on a few occasions and kind of talk about what you're passionate about. And I thought, man, what better person to have on the podcast than somebody that has the ability to, in an instant, capture the essence of a moment and memorialize it for, I guess, eternity, if you think about it that way, right? With digital information and the way that we can save pictures as artifacts now, I think it's going to be interesting what people unearth about us 1,000 years from now, and how hopefully they'll have access to some of these digital archives that we are creating on a daily basis, and that people will dig into them and say, man, this photographer was simply amazing. So tell us just a little bit, just for our audience, a little bit about yourself. Give us your, as I like to say, your superhero origin story.
Well, I'm one of those lucky people that have always known what I wanted to do. I was eyeing this camera at Collier's on Dixon whenever I was 12.
Okay.
And I saved up for it and was able to buy it. By the time I was 14, it was $125.
Wow.
And it was a Pentax K1000 with a 50 millimeter lens. And I never looked back. I just always wanted to be a photographer. That's all I ever thought about. That's all I ever did. In college, I was just in the dark room. I didn't party. I was just in the dark room by myself all the time.
Yeah. Well, let's stop for a second, because for the uninitiated, a dark room is a place where you develop film. Nowadays, film is developed instantly in our pockets in a camera. So we don't, you know, and it's so funny. My kids, they have no idea. And I think I told you this when we originally got together. I said, yeah, you know, I studied photography a little bit. I'm nowhere near your capabilities. But in college, I took several classes and I learned how to properly work in and spend time in a dark room, especially with black and white film. And just, you know, you're able to just do some really unique things that nowadays we take for granted that in some instances we can almost do on Canva. Mm-hmm. Or on Adobe, right? Yeah. Fill in the blank tool of choice online. You have those capabilities. And I think people nowadays just take it for granted. But there is an art to photography, and you have totally embraced the art of photography.
Well, thank you. The art of photography really just comes from connection. And I really learned this recently with mentoring the 900 students with Annie Leibovitz in the mentorship
that's
program.
That's not a few. That's a lot.
It's a lot. And then 30 students in my 55 plus photography class. I actually had a student call me today, Paul. Hi, Paul, if you're listening, to call to tell me that how much he loved his class and how he's wanting to, you know, further his interest in photography. And he was thinking about taking a class at Bedford's as well.
Okay.
And it just made me feel so good that somebody reached back out after class and told me what a great time that they had and that they want to continue their interest. So that made me feel so good.
Well, and I love the fact that you are not only educating the young people, but you're educating older people. And I think as this population, this U.S. population specifically, but as this U.S. population grays and we have more people over the age of 60, there is going to be a lot of opportunity for folks to take advantage of things that maybe they never got to do early on in their lives. And that's probably what you're experiencing with that older group.
Absolutely. My class, my 55 plus class, ranged from 55 to 88. And they all had different levels of interest. So, you know, from taking photos of their grandkids to I want to be a professional photographer and taken seriously. And whenever I opened up to the class, I said, you can achieve anything you want to do in this class. If you want to be a professional photographer, you can. I talked to them about Bill Cunningham, who was a photographer until he was 88 in New York. And I sent them a bunch of other movie suggestions about older photographers. You know, it's definitely one of those fields where you can be any age and be successful. I've seen 14-year-old photographers be super successful. But really, it all comes down to connection, right?
Right. Yeah, no. And I'm thinking of like Gordon Parks. And I mean, there's so many photographers that have done it into their 80s, 90s even. So, you know, so there is a real possibility there for individuals that have an interest in photography. Okay, so 12 years old, you're a native of Northwest Arkansas?
Yes.
Okay, so this is your hometown. What does it feel like being here now? I mean, you're not old now, but I mean, what does it feel like to see Northwest Arkansas in its current state, given what you grew up with? I can only imagine you've seen the differences.
I have seen all of it. I only wish that my film had survived. I had a fire a long time ago, like decades ago, and all my film was burned. And so from back then, but I wish I had all of that because I would be out at night taking pictures on Dixon and all around town. And, you know, back when ROTC and the grill were on Dixon.
Yeah.
And so it's just really interesting to see how our little town has grown. And, you know, it's pretty wild. And then I listened to stories of my grandfather who, I mean, he passed away a long time ago, but he was 98 when he passed away.
So okay.
He had been here a while too. And so, you know, he was telling me stories about 71 Business being a dirt road. And boy, I really wish I had photos from then too, you know, to look at and physically see all the changes.
It's interesting. I mean, somebody posted something on Facebook not too long ago, and I have to see if I can find them, but there were some photos taken in the early 70s on Dixon and some other areas. And it was like, I couldn't recognize it.
I know.
You know, and I've only been here almost 10 years now. But, you know, for people that have been somebody like yourself that has been here all your life, you're like, wow, you know, that takes you back to a former time. So, and I know what it feels like when I look at pictures of my hometown of Teaneck, New Jersey, and someone will post a picture of an iconic landmark in my hometown. And I'm like, oh, I remember that. But I can't go back too far beyond when I grew up because, of course, I have no frame of reference for it. But, you know, it's just there's something about your location and where you are and how things change. Nothing ever stays the same. And that's why I think sometimes photography is so important, is because in a moment in time, it can capture the essence of what you, the photographer, is experiencing at that time.
Yeah, I think people are drawn to it for that reason. It's all about memory and emotion and evoking that within yourself. And we're all photographers, not just me. We all are. We all have these great devices that can take beautiful, beautiful photos.
Yeah.
In fact, my 55 plus class, some of them had DSLRs and some of them had iPhones. Some of them had Androids. But, you know, like I said, it's all comes down to connection.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I tell people that all the time. I'm like, you know, there's always an opportunity for you to take a picture. And we have these, and I always pull it out. We have these wonderful devices in our pockets that now can shoot in 4K. Soon it'll be 8K. But I mean, just the images that you can cajole out of these iPhones and Androids are simply on a whole nother level.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
And now with the Android, you can even edit things on the fly and you know, it will take multiple photos of an image and then you can choose the best image where you were in focus the most or where everybody was looking the same way. I mean, you think of that, it's like, that's like heresy, you know, when it comes to a photographer, because it's like, typically, it's like you take one photo and that's it, right? And you hope for the best. Not anymore. It's changed.
Yeah, that was back in the film when we had 24
right.
or 36 frames.
Yeah.
But now, you know, I mean, I guess we have, you want to be a little bit careful because you don't want to mess up your shutter or,
you
know, your motor or anything. But I shoot a lot.
Yeah.
I shoot so much. With every, you know, sitting or gig I have, I probably will shoot between 100 and, depending on the gig, 1,000 images.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're only as good as your best image you have, your worst image you have out there, right?
Right.
So I'm pretty particular as to what I send out.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, my wife and I talk about, because like it seems to have been, And I don't know if this is kind of a function of the pandemic, but there seems to be way more photographers out there marketing yes. themselves today, like in 2023. We're recording this in December of 2023. So if you're listening to this in the future, that may change even more. But what she and I have noticed is that there's everybody's out there as a photographer hanging their shingle, you know, offering to shoot. And a lot of it has to do because of the advance in technology and the ability. I mean, you know, the accessibility of something like Canva, where you don't even need to buy Adobe anymore, you know, Photoshop to do things. I mean, you've got, you know, off the shelf online tools that you can use now. And so I just, how do you take that as being as somebody that's really a professional? You know, there are professionals and then there are professionals. I mean, this is really your bread and butter. How do you view that?
Well, I think there's enough space for everyone to be successful.
Sure.
That's
a good answer.
That's my take on it. I do think it is as a result of the pandemic. I think a lot of people dropped out of the rat race, the 9-to-5, their jobs they didn't love to pursue things they did. And I think that that is absolutely incredible. And I'd like to encourage everyone to do that. You know, follow your truth, follow your path, follow what makes you happy, what, you know, sets your soul on fire.
Yeah. Well, I think, and the difference is simply like, I think the difference is that when after it comes to a point when you have worked on your craft enough, where you get very comfortable being able to come in and do what you need to do and then get out. And that's kind of how I felt, like I said, with the experience that we had. I mean, it wasn't that you didn't want to hang around with me, but you got in, you got some really great shots. And before I knew it, you were done. It wasn't even a half an hour and everything was done. And then I was like, man, I hope she got a good shot. Then when I saw the pictures back, I was like, wow, she got some great shots. And it was, you know, I was very, very impressed with that. And just your ability to kind of pull everything together like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's cool. So tell me a little bit about what is really motivating you from a photographer standpoint, especially here in Northwest Arkansas. I know you're working on a multitude of projects. You've got this class that you're teaching to the kids and you're working with older adults and teaching them about photography. But what else is really moving you as far as photography is concerned? And what is your next big conquest?
Yes, my next big conquest is to heal the world.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. No, it's called Wild Rising. And I just published the first image in that series. And it's all about recognizing those people in the world that are doing wonderful things for our environment in the midst of this horrific global climate crisis that we're in.
Wait, is there a climate crisis?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little tongue-in-cheek humor there. So, no, it is. Like I said, I don't get into political conversations, but yes, there is a climate crisis going on in the world, whether you choose to believe it or not. The reality is that I think we need to be mindful how we are treating the earth and what our impact is, the long tail impact when you think about our kids and our grandkids mm-hmm. and their kids. So, yeah, no, I think it's an idea whose time has come and we need to shed light on it. And it sounds like that's what you're doing.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to debate climate change with me, they can talk to my sister, who is an atmospheric chemist.
Okay.
And brilliant.
An atmospheric chemist.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah. She's actually head of the chemistry department at Hendricks College.
Okay. Okay.
So if they want to debate, I'll just call her up and we can have a little conversation.
Right.
But for me, I'm going to use my skills to highlight those doing really wonderful things in the world. And the first image I shot was of Dr. Daniel Wildcat. He published a book called Red Alert, and he is absolutely incredible. He is a professor at the Haskell Indian Nations University and just secured a $20 million grant for his cohort of students to study the coastline of Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and New Orleans over the next 4 years. And that program is called Rising Voices, Changing Coast. And it's a really big deal. It's a really important program. And that's why I chose Dr. Wildcat as the subject of my first image.
Wow. Yeah. And so it sounds like that's going to be kind of a long-term process for you over the next few years.
Yes.
Is that typically how you view a lot of these larger projects that you do, that it's not like a one and done type situation?
No, this is actually something new for me. I am a commercial photographer. You know, I photograph different things every day, from food to people to spaces. So I've spent my whole entire career working for other people and bringing their visions to life. The past year, you know, I said that I was working on a project that was more internal, all about balancing my life with my natural surroundings. And that came about after a spiritual awakening, which I also did not know happened to people. So after that, I just had a new awareness of my place in the world, my responsibility, and then looking in the face of my daughter and realizing that I could do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm doing more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we all come to that. I like to call it a come to Jesus moment, but I think we all kind of get that epiphany where we realize that, man, it's so much bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And the minute that you realize that, and that it really is about, and I forget the story and how it goes, but there was a story about, and you may have heard this, about a man that was on his deathbed, and they were asking him to sum up in one word what life was about. And ultimately he wrote others. It's, mm-hmm. it's about other people. It's not about you. It's never been about you. And not to mean that you're not important, but it is about other people, our fellow man, our fellow woman. And I think it's important. So many of us walk this earth in an unrealized place. And when you find that why, you know, Simon Sinek talks about starting with why, but when you find that why for your life, and, you know, there's really nothing else that will impede your ability to get that done and to go out there and really achieve it. And so I applaud you, and I'm glad your willingness to share this and be transparent about it, because a lot of us walk around and we don't ever become fully actualized in that way.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important. And certainly, like you said, I mean, you know, you're almost tearing up thinking about your daughter, because there is an example, I think, especially for those of us that have been fortunate enough to bring kids into the world, there is an example as a parent that you want to set for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we set bad ones, and sometimes we set good examples. And I think it's important for everybody to be encouraged by that. And even still, even people that don't have kids can set an example for others, especially younger people coming along that are going to tread the road that these individuals have tread. And so I think it's just important to recognize that.
Yeah. And just while being in service to others, you never know what kind of miracles you are making and creating in someone else's life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's exciting then, I you know, hearing about this. So it sounds like it's going to ultimately take you in a number of different directions with it. What can you tell us about Dr. Daniel Wildcat, and what was your experience like, you know, just working with him directly?
Well, I've learned so much from him, and yeah, gosh, it's hard to talk about. Like, just his presence is so calming, and I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, we're all going to just like burn up and everything, because he has so much hope for the world.
Yeah.
But truly, we all do need to wake up and realize our impact on the earth, and like everyday impact. Like whenever I go to the grocery store, I don't buy anything in plastic containers. I just don't do it anymore, because we don't actually recycle it. It doesn't actually do anything but go into the oceans. And so I just refuse.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's, you know, I spend a little bit more for certain things and I don't buy certain things, and it works out. But Dr. Wildcat really taught me how to play well with others, honestly. When we first met with my friend Evan Alvarado, I was working with him on his film, his documentary about the RBC, about Dr. Daniel Wildcat. And I was doing stills and he was doing his documentary. We had a ceremony at the beginning where we spoke with the students and we all discussed our norms and our requirements, you know, just how we speak to each other, what we expect from each other, our expectations. Then we had a really beautiful ceremony at the Medicine Wheel, which is gorgeous sacred space at Haskell Indian Nations University. And it really kind of set the tone for how I'd like to approach every project and interaction I have with people, where it's just about being open and honest and caring of others.
Yeah.
And of the place we live.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like a lot, but I think all we're really saying or suggesting, or at least I can't speak for you, at least mm-hmm. I think about it this way, is just, you know, just try to do your part, right? Yeah. And then that little bit helps. Like I picked up a bottle on my walk early this morning, you know, and I put it in the recycling bin and I was like, yes, you know, one down. And, yeah. And so, you know, it's the little things, right? I mean, they do make a difference in the long run. So
yeah, if we can just make a 1% change, a 1% difference, I think it will mean so much. I'm making all the changes because I'm an artist and I want to be dramatic. And also, I think it's the right thing to do. So I've gone solar with my house.
Okay.
I don't do any plastics. I've gone vegan with my diet, except for I do eat chicken eggs.
Okay.
Locally grown, of course.
No judgment. It's all good.
So. I haven't figured out the protein part. So okay. I've not been vegan long enough to understand all of that.
Right,
so I'm
right.
trying to balance. But, you know, I'm just really trying to just do everything I possibly can. So also, if somebody has suggestions for me, please let me know.
Yeah.
I've been hoping to go electric with my car by April of 2024. So okay. we'll see.
So you hopefully you'll get an electric vehicle that
yeah.
will get you around. Yeah. No, I think there's tremendous benefits to that. I think the biggest challenge that people have range phobia, you know, it's like, can I go far enough in an electric vehicle?
And you can.
You can.
I did a road trip to prove it, actually.
Okay.
I went on a road trip with my friends, Jason and Maya. Hi, guys. We went to see Dead & Company in Denver.
Okay.
No, it was in Boulder. It was
close enough.
Yeah. Somewhere out in Colorado.
Right, right.
And we specifically took their electric car because I really wanted to be able to speak on the subject about long distance travel, because that seems to be something that people are really freaked out about.
Yeah.
And there was one long shot between charging stations that we were a little bit like, I don't know. But it can be done. It's totally easy. They have apps so you can see where the stations are, which ones are operating, which ones are open. And actually, even though it did take longer to get to where we were going because of the charging takes longer than filling up with gas, it actually felt shorter because we were getting out, we were walking around. Most of the charging stations are like at malls or yeah. something like that. So we can walk around the mall for like 20 minutes while it's charging. And it was actually really a nice trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You plan. That's what you do. Yeah. So I rented an EV for the first, I've been in several EVs, driven Teslas and all that stuff, but I rented an EV for the first time this past year, actually in June. It was actually a cheaper rental than everything else. The guy was like, do you want an EV? I was like, sure. I'm in California. What could go wrong? Right. So I get an EV. I drive from San Francisco up to Sacramento. Everywhere you go in California, there's a charging station.
Yeah.
So that may not be the best example, but I did recognize as I was leaving Sacramento, I was getting low mm-hmm. and I was like, man, how do I do this? So as I looked on the app I was using, I saw that there was an outlet mall where they had several charging stations. So I just said, okay, I'm going to map to this place. I'm going to go take a walk, do a little shopping, let this thing charge up for half an hour and I'm good to go. And that was it.
Yeah.
I was done. After that, I didn't have to charge up again. And, you know, it's just really planning more than anything else. And you're right. It does provide you with an opportunity to take a break, because if you're in a, you know, just a regular car, you're just driving. I mean, I've driven for 12 hours at a shot. That's not really healthy.
It's not healthy.
It's not.
It can
just
cause
ask
blood
any truck driver that, you know,
yeah.
they'll tell you. So, yeah. But no, seriously, I think that's important to consider. The impact that you have when you do have an electric vehicle, and the simple fact that there are more electric vehicles hitting the market.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, if you're not like 100%, if you have range anxiety, which is like a real thing that some people have, then you could get a hybrid. Start off
right.
there. Take the baby steps, right? Work your way off. Wean yourself off of petrol fuel and onto an electric vehicle. So there's plenty of options out there for you.
Absolutely. I'm actually doing trade with my friend Brent Robinson. He's got this company that he takes bikes and makes them into e-bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
yeah,
is really, really cool.
Is. Yeah. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're doing a little trade. So I am getting a little e-bike to tool around town.
Okay. With.
So I think that'll be nice because I won't have to drive my car around town, like locally. to the grocery store or anything.
Yeah, I've thought about getting an e-bike just because of the trail. The Neocasca Creek Trail is just off of my ends up. It comes through my neighbor, my subdivision. So I could jump on it and ride through Gully. And as they're now finishing up the trail at the top of, for those of you that aren't familiar with Fayetteville, at the top of Mission and Old Wire, that the Greenway Trail is being extended there all the way over kind of towards Mount Sequoia area. So into the historic district in Fayetteville. So you're almost, and very soon we'll be able to circumnavigate a good portion of Fayetteville on the Greenway.
Yeah.
Which means that you could do it with an electric bike and not bat an eye. I mean, I can still get on the road
yeah.
and do it, but I mean, this can almost ensure that you don't get hit by anybody in the process. So,
well, I know where you can get an electric bike.
I know. No, that's cool. Yeah. No, there's a lot of options out there and I've been looking at them. I'm going to have to take a closer look in the near future. So when the time is right, I will have to reach out to you and get some advice.
Yeah.
So tell me this. I mean, you know, you've been shooting film, shooting photography for more than 25 years. How has your perspective on photography changed over that time? Put aside the technology,
right.
technological aspects of it. I mean, you still have to have an eye, I think, for things. And that to me is what separates like a really good photographer from just somebody out there casually taking shots.
I'm not sure if anything has really changed a whole lot. There was definitely different styles of portraiture 20 years ago than there is today, but I never really followed those. I was more of a lifestyle portraiture artist. So okay. I can, also being an empath, I can quickly get to know somebody within minutes, get to know what they like, what they don't like, their personalities. I can read them. So I think that is very helpful in being a photographer because you have just a few moments to really capture who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can actually do that, then that's what makes a great photographer.
Okay. Was that why my photo looks so good?
Yeah, I can read you.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. No, I love that. And then what advice would you give to anyone aspiring to be a photographer? Knowing what you know now, right? I mean, would you have trade the experience that you had growing up at 12, buying that Pentax camera from Collier's to have like the iPhone 15, to be able to just have that dropped in your lap and have the capabilities? I mean, my kids are walking around. They don't have iPhone 15s right now, but they have nice iPhones that can do quite a bit. Would you trade that for what we have right now at our disposal?
No, I don't think I would. I was able to do photography at a time where it was like Christmas every time you went and picked them up from Bedford Camera and Video, you know?
You have never lied. That is the truth.
Yeah.
You just didn't know what you were going to get.
You did not know. And then I remember being terrified flying with my film. Like I'd go do destination. I don't do a lot of weddings, but when I first started, I did. I would do destination weddings and I'd come back with my film and in that lead line pouch and everything. And I would just be terrified that the X-ray was going to ruin it. And I mean, never happened.
Right.
But it was always a little bit nerve wracking. Have I told you about how I became a photographer professionally?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, please share that story.
Okay. It's really a funny story. Bedford Camera and Video, they were advertising for a portrait photographer.
Okay.
And at this time I was 17.
Oh, wow.
And I really wanted to be a professional photographer. I had been doing photography since I was 12. I mean, it was time, right?
Of course.
I had never used strobes before in my entire life. I didn't even know what type of strobes they had. But so I did research. I did research about all kinds of strobes. I did research about lighting ratios and lighting techniques. And Monday morning, I went in to do my interview. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to take a portrait of the general manager. And I had 12 frames in my little film to take it. And then I had to wait for an hour for it to get developed to see if I got the job. And I did. I got the job. And I worked there for the next 12 years.
Wow. Interesting.
And every day I would try a new technique. So that's how I learned about lighting. Advice for photographers now. I can tell you, a gentleman came up to me not long ago at a biking event in Springdale. And he said, I have a minivan, or not a minivan. It was like a... Anyway, it was some sort of van. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I'm retired and I just see all this stuff happening in the world and I really want to be a photographer. And I'm thinking this would be a good opportunity. And I said, yeah, go now. Do what you want now. I was like, what do you want to do? And he goes, well, I'd like to travel around the world. I'd like to photograph all these changes happening in the world. He's like, I also want to photograph music. And how do I do this? I said, told him all my secrets. I said, this is how you get press passes. This is, you know, how you do this. This is how you connect to magazines. And I said, you need to just go do it. You're retired. You've got the van. You should just go. So anyone wanting to be a photographer or wanting to do anything in their life, if they feel their soul calling them, I say, go. I say, don't continue to do what you're doing and ignore that call. That's crazy.
Yeah. No, I love that. Well, I might have to make the title of this podcast, if you have a van and you want to shoot photography, just go do it.
Just go do it.
Just go do it. I love it. Have you stayed in touch with this individual?
No, I've not seen him since.
Interesting.
He's probably on the road.
And he may come back one day and be like, you'll never guess what I did.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, he said that he volunteered at the Momentary and at Crystal Bridges. So I'm sorry if you guys lost a volunteer.
So, no, I love that. So I had a chance to see some of your pictures in the Scout Guide.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Scout Guide. You know, your pictures evoke, there's something about them that's, I won't say that it's haunting, but it's almost like, how did you capture the, like you said, you capture the essence of people. You captured the essence of your subjects in such a way where you can't just look at them one time. You've got to go back and study it. You're like, wait, what did I just see? And then you go back and take another look at it.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. I mean, there is an art to that.
Absolutely. It's a very conscious effort. Jennifer Esty is the editor for the Scout Guide, and we work very closely with her and the clients to make sure that your focus is on that ad and mm-hmm. that you do go back to it.
Yeah.
So that is absolutely by design.
I mean, the picture that you took of Blanca and Danny from Sugar Apple Baking Company, those are my two of my besties. I love those guys. So if you're listening, you guys are the best. And, you know, you don't have to put any Rice Krispie treats on my doorstep, although I wouldn't hate you if you did. But you guys are simply amazing. But I thought that the picture, now everybody's going to want to go look at this, the picture that you took of them with the car and everything, it was just like, for some reason, it just resonated with me. I really enjoyed that photo.
That whole photo shoot was so infused with love. I cannot tell you. It was divinely orchestrated.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. Because they wanted this special car, and I had no idea how I was going to materialize what they wanted. But I was driving around one day, going somewhere I knew exactly how to get to, and somehow I got lost. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But I drove past that car. And it was for sale.
Oh, wow.
And so I stopped. I wrote down the number and I called them, or Jen called them. One of us called them.
Yep.
And it was the sweetest couple ever. And they didn't make us rent the car or anything. They brought the car to us let us use it. And we did a couple of photos for them as well.
Sure.
Just the kindest people in the world. And it was all just serendipitous.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that.
So lovely.
That's like... But you know, that's kind of the flavor of Northwest Arkansas,
yes.
Right? I mean, you've been here all your life. And I, at some point in every podcast episode, I have to talk about what makes Northwest Arkansas so special. You just captured it in a very short story about just how that works. And it doesn't surprise me that that couple was like, hey, don't worry about it. Just, you know, whatever. And you did a solid for them by taking a couple of photos. But what would you say to somebody listening to this that's thinking about coming to Northwest Arkansas about what, you know, what makes this place so special? Granted, you're kind of a homer because you're from here,
yeah.
Right? I'm not. So, I mean, again, I created this podcast because it was the one I would have wanted to listen to before I moved here, but it didn't exist. So I don't have the same affinity for Northwest Arkansas like you do because you're from here. I have an affinity for Northwest Arkansas, but it's for different reasons. So I would love for you just to kind of share your thoughts about that and why it's such a special place.
I feel like there's a lot of people here with open hearts and open minds. I feel like there is so much love in this space. And, you know, anyone wanting to come move here, you're totally welcome, but please match the love and open hearts.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, you know, and it's funny you say that because I always think about like other parts of the country where people have come to. Like I lived in Atlanta for a while, like after the Olympics when Atlanta was just starting to grow up, and it's grown ridiculously.
It's huge.
In a lot of good ways, yeah. But then also in a lot of ways that you're like, you know, I mean, I was just through there a couple of months ago, and no shade to any of my, I have a lot of family that live in Atlanta and friends, and I like Atlanta, but I mean, I can, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't ever want Northwest Arkansas to become that. I don't ever want us to get to that place where it's just the growth is cumbersome.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, wow, you know, it's a lot harder. And I don't know that Northwest Arkansas ever will, right? Because of where we are in the country.
A little bit insulated.
Yeah, we are somewhat insulated and it's a little different. But you know, we keep touting that this is the heartland, right? And I'm using air quotes now. You know,
they
what
still
does,
think we're barefoot all the time.
Oh,
which,
I know.
You know,
barefoot,
I am.
Outdoor bathrooms and no plumbing and all that other stuff. So, but yeah, we're moving in the right direction.
Right.
Suffice it to say. But no, you're absolutely right, though. I think that what I have found is that people just tend to be fairly genuine. Mm-hmm. And as a young man that grew up right outside of New York City and just used to a lot of blustery, hey, you know, people are how they are. And, you know, it's just a little different here in Northwest Arkansas. And that's something that I've really enjoyed experiencing over the years in my time here.
Yeah. People are how they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe people change. People can change and grow. And I feel like we are in a time of growth.
Yeah, we are.
I see it all around me.
Yeah. 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 We really are in a time of growth. So, well, listen, I want to be respectful of your time. And I really appreciate you coming together with me just to have this conversation. What are some of your, outside of when you're shooting people, where are some of your favorite places to explore and photograph in Northwest Arkansas? Do you have any?
Yes, but I can't tell you.
They're super secret, huh?
Yes. If I tell you, then there'll be 700 photographers.
Oh, I understand.
Right behind me.
I understand. Well, it's all good. I mean, I don't want you to give up your secret sauce. So
actually these places that are secret. I guess those are my meditation places. Those wouldn't be my photography places. But
right.
There are lots of really beautiful places to photograph. Campus is gorgeous.
It is.
Love it. And Devil's Den is right down the road, which is fabulous. And all the trails around Crystal Bridges are wonderful.
Yes. And the Forest of Lights is going on right now.
Absolutely. So
have you shot that at night at all?
I have not, but I've been and it is so wonderful.
Yeah. If somebody was going there with their camera to shoot that in at night, mm-hmm. Any advice for them?
Yeah, long exposure and a tripod.
Okay, all right, that's what I thought. That way, you're keeping
high
the camera
ISO.
Stable,
right?
Yeah, so long exposure, tripod, and
a high ISO.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll put that down, and I'll put that in the show notes, and hopefully, somebody will take advantage of that. But I've always told some people about the Forest of Lights and how
it's really lovely.
It is. Yeah. It really is. It's a great experience. So we're definitely going to go down there before it leaves at the end of the year, and it'll be back again next year. So that's kind of cool. So, wow. You know, there's so much that you've done. What would you say? And I'll ask you this as we close out. What would you say? What is the role that social media has played in your current photography career, if any?
I'm not sure if it plays much of a role. I mean, I use Instagram as my catalog. This is what kind of work I do. Mm-hmm. But with all of the changes in the algorithms, I don't get a whole lot of traffic.
Yeah.
Most of my work is by word of mouth.
Sure. And portfolio work that you're doing for other people too. So there's that, right? So typically when you take pictures for a client, they are for a client, so the client gets to use them however they choose to use them, and only if they give you permission to use them or whatever, I'm assuming. So
yeah, I don't usually post any client work. I mean, once in a while I will, but you know, not very often. Yeah. I just feel like I keep that separate.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes
you know,
sense.
Unless they want me to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that could actually bode well for you as a client. If you're listening to this and you've had Meredith do some photos for you, probably wouldn't hurt just to let her share a few of those, because she definitely has an eye for it, as you already know. So Well, good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time, Meredith, to sit down and talk with us today and just kind of share with our audience your story, because I think it's one that it resonates with me being somebody that relocated here, but just hearing from someone that's from here, like from here, and what you've experienced over the years and how you've continued to ideate and develop new ways to represent yourself to the community. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the amazing photos you took of me. And I'm glad that the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal connected us in the first place. And, you know, hopefully we can do some more stuff together. But I really do appreciate all that you're doing here in the community. And I'm really excited for these 900 young people that will be impacted by your voice and your vision for photography and that whole 55 plus class, which means there's going to be a bunch of older people running around with cameras trying to be Meredith Mashburn.
Yeah, so. Be nice to them.
Be nice to them. So, and then somewhere out in the U.S. is some dude in a van riding around taking photos. And if you see him, you know who to remind him who to thank. So, yeah.
Just try to get people to quit their jobs and follow their passions
every day. That's it. Absolutely. I love that. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To learn more about us or to read or download the show notes from today's episode, visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. And I'll be sure to put as many pictures that Meredith will share with me that I can put in the show notes for you to just check out her artwork if you haven't already seen it. And when I say her artwork, I mean her photographs. You can listen to this podcast and sign up for our free newsletter to keep up with us and all things NWA. Sign up today. Please subscribe to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast wherever you listen to it. And please, please, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. Remember, our podcast comes out every Monday, rain or shine. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and we'll see you back here next week for another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.